Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I want us to read a couple of scriptures together, if that's okay. I have you seated, and maybe you should stand again. Would that be okay, everybody? And let's stand again, and if we could have those scriptures. Colossians, reading a couple of passages, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And I thought maybe we should read this together, and then another short passage from 1 Peter. It's good to read scripture together. Amen? All right, here we go. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And now 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Here we go. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. May the Lord bless His word to us today. You can be seated. Let me just say today, I'm talking about something really, well, urgent. I sense the Lord speaking to us, and this is urgent spiritual business. But then again, I suppose you could say that all preaching of the word is urgent spiritual business. You know, when I was growing up, it seemed in church, and I grew up in church, it seemed to be there was a sense of urgency about responding to the gospel. There was this urgency to get right with God and stay right with God, because Jesus is coming. And if he doesn't return today or tomorrow, we have no guarantee of another day. But you know, it seems to me that urgency is now more urgent than ever, if you want to know what I mean. We live in a terrible age of deep polarization. Everything now seems to have to do with which side of the fence you're on, the left side or the right side. And the ability of people and leaders to even communicate with decency and common sense and honesty and reason, it seems to be all underwater, as we say. The political and the public hatred and vitriol are, I have to say to you, beyond anything that I ever thought I'd see. And you know, as a society, we are in deep trouble. And I tell you, the hour is late. Talking about spiritual things and eternity is urgent. So this morning, I'm dealing with this idea that Jesus is supreme over everything. Because of that, we owe everything to Him, and it's urgent that we give everything to Him.
Now, there's a nautical term, and this is in the sermon title today. There's a nautical term called bearing down. What it means, it refers to a ship advancing from a windward direction, which means it's coming quickly, it's pressing in, it's coming toward us. So in laying a foundation for this message, allow me to say a couple of things. First, all of life is spiritual, whether we admit it or not. Your existence and my existence in this world as living, breathing, thinking people is a spiritual reality. Think of it. Our very presence right here, right now, is a testimony to God's creative power and His sustaining power, His goodness and His love. Let's remember, in fact, that every single corner of life has its source in God and is accountable to God. Paul, when speaking to the Athenians in Athens at the Areopagus, in Acts 17, verse 28 said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And by the way, there is not a worry. There is not, because of all what I've just said, there's not a worry, there's not a concern, there's not a wish, there's not a dream, there's not a need that He doesn't have the power to care for. Everything is under His control. Everything that you can think of, the past, the present, the future in your life has its answer in the eternal God. Okay, all of life is spiritual. The second thing I would say about it is this, but not only is all of life spiritual, the real inside you is eternal. Once you're born, you never die. Oh, you die physically. But you never die. You're eternal being. So, my question to you today may be a bit of a shocker, whether or not you accepted Christ at some point in the past, but you've drifted away from Him. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. My question to you is this: where will you be as a spiritual, eternal being 100 years from now? Because you will most certainly be somewhere. And in fact, it's solemnizing to think that, you know, we spend most of our lives thinking about how we're going to make our 60, 70, 80 or more years of life better for ourselves and our families on this earth. We spend our lives doing that. And of course, we have to. But as a matter of perspective, Jesus said this: "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, I've lived a total of, I've done this a few times. I've lived a total of 25,878 days as of today. If I live until I'm 90, I have 6,570 days left as of today. Ooh, it's scary, isn't it? I've lived 621,072 hours. If I live to be 90, I have 157,680 hours left. Guess, listen to this one. I have lived 3,744 Sundays. Now, that's a lot of singing and preaching and praying, isn't it? If I live until I'm 90, I have 936 Sundays left. You see, Pastor, do you have to be as morbid on a Sunday morning? I'm not being morbid. I'm just putting it in perspective here, because we're all eternal beings. I have to decide if I own me or if God owns me. Now, if I use all my time for me, I am not recognizing that I'm eternal. But if I choose to primarily use my time for that which pleases the heart of God, then I'm recognizing that I'm not just spiritual, I am eternal. The sum and substance of this: life, the soul, human beings are eternal. Stuff is not. Everything we own will one day mean nothing to us or anybody else. 100 years from now, nothing you own will mean anything. Only it's an antique, maybe. Charles Swindoll said years ago, remember that two things on this earth are eternal: human souls and the Word of God. Preachers used to ask the age-old question, would ask, where will you spend eternity? That's a good question. There, of course, there's no way to spend eternity because eternity is forever. It's what time is not. You were created for eternity. Free will to choose what to do with your life and so on. That's why I had us read Colossians 1 where Paul puts Jesus right at the center of everything. He was there when everything was created, and he owns everything. He was there before it was created, and all of it was created for him. And because of him, everything stays together. Paul says Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. And then he wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, listen, this is a powerful passage. I don't have it on the screen here, but this is a powerful words. He said, you are not your own. You are were bought at a price. We do not belong to ourselves. I read a story, January 15, 1989. There was an article appeared in a newspaper in the Lexington Herald Leader. The family living in a home in West Palm Beach, Florida, told a film crew it was okay to use the front lawn to set for an episode of a television series. And a B.L. Stryker television series. They knew cars would be crashing violently in front of the house. But while it was happening, the owner of the house called, was tipped off and called from New York to West Palm Beach and demanded, what in the world is going on in my house? Apparently, the people who were living there were tenants and had no right to allow the property to be destroyed as the cameras rolled. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Many times we live our lives under the mistaken impression that they belong to us, but they don't really belong to us. The message this morning is very simple. Our very lives and how we conduct them are matters of eternal importance. The decisions that you and I make, the attitudes we project, the actions we take, and the language that we use are all indications of whether we seriously or flippantly handle the fact that we are eternal beings who will never die. The body will die. Our times in this world are in his hands, but the real person, the real you, the soul is eternal and will live in eternity either with God in his eternal kingdom where all is life and light, or with Satan where all is dark and evil. Are you tracking with me today? So it's the call. I have just a couple of points. The first thing, the call. It's always urgent. It's always urgent. The moment I am aware that I'm a spiritual being made in the image of God and that I'm eternal, I am now responsible for what I do with that. And we only have two choices. We will respond to it, we will embrace it, we will believe it, we will ask Jesus for forgiveness and attempt to live the best we can, knowing we'll never be perfect, nor anything we put our hand to, but we commit ourselves to him. Or the other choice is we will walk away, we will ignore it, and put ourselves in harm's way under the wrath of God because we've rejected the only hope there is or ever will be. And there's no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, he goes on to say, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, I've wondered over the years about the way I've grown up in church, and probably most of you have. I've wondered about the way we look at what being a Christian means. For example, let me explain. Most of us here can point, I can anyway, point to a time when we received Jesus, and the memory of that is awesome and should be. But you know, that was merely the opening of the door to the great blessings that God has for us, the provision and this, you know, let me say this to us. Do we still believe in God's surprises? Do we still believe that God can break into our lives in ways that we never dreamed possible? It's not a question of saying, you know, I just say, I accepted Christ 20 years ago. God forgave my sins, and I was baptized in water. You got that one checked off, right? And I received the Holy Spirit. Got that one checked off. And now I have my ticket. I have my ticket punched, and I'm ready for when Jesus returns. Let me tell you, it's a lot more to it than that. So for many Christians, their lives have stalled out many years ago. You know, they've come to a point that maybe they don't demonstrate very much of the fruit of the Spirit anymore. Maybe they haven't lived and behaved very well privately and publicly. Sometimes, sadly enough, some people who are not believers sometimes demonstrate better qualities and virtues than some believers. You know, too many have lapsed into a mindset that there's no more to be had. There's no more exciting challenges to be had. But let me tell you, let me say again, all of life is spiritual, and God expects us to look forward and to greater things that He has for us. I was reading this week Hebrews chapter 11, and I wasn't planning to say this, but it struck me that when it defines faith, in fact, it defines faith as that which is looking forward, always looking ahead. They looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. They did not look back. They continued to look forward. Don't look back there. Continue to look forward. Don't get stalled out in the present time. Look forward to the great things that God has for you. You know, so in light of all this, this encompassing supremacy of Jesus over everything, you know, we need to remember that it's not a question of, I repented one time, that's it, I don't need to do that anymore, I don't need to make any more commitments, I've done it, it's over with. That's just not the way it is, folks. That's just not the way it is. We need to be constantly in touch with God. We need to be praying when we're driving. We need to be this. We're spiritual beings in touch with God. It's urgent. We can't just put this on the back burner and say, this is my spiritual life over here. This is my family life here. This is my sports life here. This is my work life here. No, all of it belongs to God. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Everything. Everything. The Spirit's call this morning, again, is for spiritual awakening, not to sit back in our spiritual lazy boy chair. You know, I suspect, like in every group of people, there are always those who have become spiritually drowsy. The call this morning is to root out the things in our lives, and this is the urgency of it, the things that threaten to drag us down, the sins that easily beset us, the attitudes that project a poor witness to our co-workers. Let's admit it. We all tend to steer away from, sidestep God's total ownership of us. I was struck two or three years ago as Don and I were in a restaurant. We were attending conference in, I think it was Calgary. A young waitress came up to the table, and she had, on her left arm, she had a one-liner here tattooed on. She had, I found my life when I laid it down. And I got into a conversation with her because I obviously knew that she was a Christian. We got into this terrific conversation. I never forgot the conversation, a delightful conversation with her. But I never forgot that statement. I found my life when I laid it down. There's enough of self in all of us to hold on to some parts of us, you know, things we've been, attitudes, re-rationalized, I don't have enough time to give to God. We rationalize, I can't give resources, money to God. I can't give my energy to God. I got too many other things on my plate. And there are so many other things. There are long-held opinions about certain things that we hold on to. It's our narrative, and we're going to cuddle it. You know, I tell you what, folks, let's face it. In all of us, humility is not very plentiful in our day, right? There's so many areas of our lives we like to hold on to. Default negativism and critical spirit and so on. And we rationalize everything. We rationalize everything. I read a story about a farmer one day went happily with joy in his heart to report to his wife that their best cow had given birth to two calves, one red and one white. And he said, you know, he said, I've suddenly had a feeling, an impulse, that we must dedicate one of these to the Lord. We will bring them up together, and when the time comes, we will sell one and keep the proceeds, and we will sell the other and give the proceeds to the Lord's work. And his wife asked him what he was going to, which he was going to dedicate to the Lord. He said, well, there's no need to bother about that now. We'll treat them both the same way when the time comes. We'll do as I'm saying, as I'm proposing. And off he went. In a few months, he came back in the kitchen one day looking very miserable and unhappy. When his wife asked him what was troubling him, he said, I have bad news to give you. The Lord's calf is dead. Wow. But she said, you hadn't decided which was to be the Lord's calf. Oh, yes, he said, I had always decided it was to be the white one, and it is the white one that has died. The Lord's calf is dead. Why is it always the Lord's calf that's dead, that dies? Why is it that the best of our time we want to keep for ourselves? Why is it the most of what we have we want to keep for ourselves? So it's urgent. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, actually, verses farther down the chapter, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which was preached into every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And let me just go to my second point this morning, the choice. It's always urgent, okay? The choice is always urgent. My second point is simple. Simpler, just pretty much the same. The choice is more urgent now than ever. Knowing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in charge of everything, knowing that we're eternal beings, who will one day soon give an account of what we've done with our life. About the only way I can summarize it is to say, with that overused phrase, let us seize the day. Let us grasp the opportunity and make the most of every opportunity. Listen to Paul again in Colossians 4. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. See, there's an urgency to the gospel that too often has gotten lost in our lives. Hebrews chapter 3, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he says to you, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, Paul says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. See, either way you cut it, either way, Jesus is coming soon again. And even apart from that, that death is bearing down. Listen, whether it's partly good, as you look back at the past, whether it's partly good, partly bad, all good, all bad, I can tell you for sure that it's a mixture of both. That's over. Now, you consider this morning, you can ruminate on it, you can brood over it, you can relive it, but you can't recall it. Nothing to this moment in this service can ever be recalled and relived. It's done. What is important is everything from this moment forward. What will we do with our eternal soul now? How will we treat that part of us that will live on forever starting now? Now listen, I want to make my days count, those whatever is left, you know, what I read to you. I want to finish well. I want to put my hand to the plow and serve God with all of my heart. It doesn't matter about accolades. It doesn't matter if you're ever celebrated. It doesn't matter. Let us move forward in faith. And most of us know what we need to do. And if you're listening, you will hear that, even in a service like this, you will hear that still small voice pulling you toward God. Here's what I will do. I will commit myself to do whatever God leads me to say, to be, and to do. Here's what I'll do. I will listen to the voice of the Spirit and try to discern the direction of the wind. Here's what I will do. I will commit to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I think this morning, here's what Paul would say. Just as he said to the Colossians, he would say this. I'm going to put PPC in there. And you at PPC, once estranged, hostile to God in your minds, doing things you knew were sinful, Jesus has reconciled you, put you under a different owner through his death on the cross to present you holy and blameless and without reproach before his Father. And Peter would say, listen, Peter would say, and I'm going to paraphrase the passage we read from the Phillips translation. Here's what Peter would say. To you at PPC, we are near the end of all things now, and you should therefore be calm, self-controlled people of prayer. Above everything else, be sure that you have real deep love for each other, remembering how love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to each other, without secretly wishing you hadn't got to be. Serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you, as faithful dispensers of the magnificently varied grace of God. If any of you is a preacher, then he should preach his messages from God. And in whatever way a person serves the church, they should do it recognizing the fact that God gives them his ability so that God may be glorified in everything through Jesus Christ. To him belong praise and glory forever. Well, to all of us, these are matters of eternal importance. They call for action. They call for urgent action because there is no guarantee. Folks, there is no guarantee. And those of you watching online this morning, let me tell you, there is no guarantee that if you procrastinate, you will get the opportunity when you need to make things right and not to make things right. Is to be lost eternally. And only you can embrace the opportunity to give yourself to him. I close with this story. Former pastor of Moody Church, Dr. George Sweeting, wrote this. Several years ago, he said, our family visited Niagara Falls. It was spring. The ice was rushing down the river, and as I viewed the large blocks of ice flowing toward the falls, he said, I could see there were carcasses of dead fish embedded in the ice as it came over the falls. As they came to the brink, he said, he watched gulls by the score were riding down the river feeding on the fish. And as they came to the brink of the falls, their wings would go out and they would escape the falls. But he said, I watched one gull which seemed to delay and wondered when it would leave. It was engrossed in the carcass of a fish. And when it finally came to the brink of the falls, out went its wings, and it flapped and flapped and even lifted the ice out of the water and thought it could escape. But what had happened was it had sat there so long with its feet in the ice that its claws had gotten frozen in the ice. The weight of the ice was too big, and the gull plunged into the abyss. And Pastor Sweeting said, oh, the delay, the danger of delay. The best attractions of this world, our fixation with getting ahead, looking good to everyone except God, taken up with our schedules and our affairs and our money and our time, are deadly. Do you know something? We can gain it all and yet lose it all. Somebody said this, the people of the world are in the same boat, and the world and the boat in which the world finds itself is sinking. I tell you today, watching from anywhere, Satan wants your soul. He hates everything bearing the image of God. My call to us today, all of us, those who are believers and non-believers, let us run to Jesus because the hour is late. It's urgent. Eternity is bearing down. Would you stand with me here today? Father God, I pray that by your Spirit you will break through hearts that have been unresponsive, where a crust is built up, where it seems to anybody else it's impenetrable. God, I pray you will soften hearts in the house here, somewhere out there online. As we understand that we are spiritual beings, that we're owned by you, and that we are eternal, and that eternity is bearing down. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.